This is Althea. I'm in 11th grade at Bethel Park High School.
I'm Janyla, and I'm 12 years old, and I live in Pittsburgh.
This is Anna. I'm 17 years old, and I live in Murraysville.
This is Julian. I'm in 8th grade at SciTech in Oakland, and this is the Kidsburg Podcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Kidsburg Podcast. We love interviewing remarkable people and sharing their thoughts with you, and also filling you in on Pittsburgh gems, cool places that you might not know about, but you and your kids might just love. I'm Kidsburg's editor, Melissa Rayworth, and I'm here with my friends and coworkers who are both parents just like me.
Hey everyone, I'm the director of Kidsburg, Yuling Chang, and I can't wait to dive into this episode. Along with an inspiring interview, we've got honest intel from local teens as they answer a question that parents might just be curious about.
And I'm Christine Sorensen, a KDKA anchor and Kidsburg producer, and I am so excited to hear about today's Pittsburgh gem, which is the beautiful Maxovanka murals at St. Nicholas Croatian Church in Millvale. And Yuling, I have been wanting to see this for so many years. Tell us about them.
So this is one of Pittsburgh's most powerful and unexpected art experiences. So the Maxovanka murals are at the St. Nicholas Croatian Catholic Church in Millvale. And it was painted during two intense periods of time in 1937 and 1941. And these 25 towering murals are created by the artist Maxovanka, and it covers 4,500 square feet of wall space, and it's been mostly untouched for more than 75 years.
Wow.
So it's truly historical. And his art combines deep faith with bold messages about war, injustice, immigration, and social justice. And these were topics that he cared very deeply about. With guidance from the church's priests, he created this imagery that blended all of this together and also kind of highlighted the real-life struggles of working class and immigrant families. So it's also a history of what happened in Pittsburgh. But with this in mind, you might want to think about the age of your kids and if they're prepared for a visit like this. He called this his gift to America, and a lot of times people have compared his art to the Mexican painter Diego Rivera. It's inspired and sparked a lot of conversation across generations. But you'll also hear some fun facts, like how Vanka experimented with making his own paint using surprising ingredients, like mayonnaise.
Wow.
Yeah. And you can sign up for a docent-led tour, which is about an hour, and they have different times and days throughout the week.
Wow.
That is fantastic. I have spoken to some high school teachers who've brought groups of students there. And as you said, it's an art lesson, but it's also a history lesson. And given that there is this focus on the lives of real people, from what I've been told, a lot of the teens really have connected to what they see in this art because they can relate to it, even though it was painted a very long time ago.
Well, I think this is a prime example of, if this was in Europe, we would be going on tours of this, but sometimes we forget when things are right in our neighborhood.
Yes.
There are some incredible things to see, and this is definitely a hidden gem.
Yes, so highly recommend for people to go check it out. And you can learn more and see photos of the murals at vankomurals.org. And we'll include that website in our show notes at kidsburg.org. Now stay tuned for our interview with the multi-talented Josh and Gab.
Josh Verbanitz is an award-winning songwriter and musician. Gab Benesso is a nationally renowned writer, comedian, and actress. Together, they perform as Josh and Gab, bringing positive messages about mental health to so many students throughout the Pittsburgh region and beyond. We are so excited to have them here in the studio with us. Josh and Gab, thank you so much for being here.
We're here and we're happy to be here. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So we may have kids listening who would love to work as performers or who would love to work as educators and share their knowledge with other people when they grow up. So to give them some kind of sense of what a career like that might be like, what's it like for you guys to prepare for a show?
What's interesting is we kind of proved that you don't have to live in a New York or in LA to be able to kind of make up your own entertainment story, arts and entertainment story. We were both fans of each other before we were performing as a duo.
Oh, that's
and we,
cool.
Yeah, we kind of saw, I saw her stand-up comedy. She saw my live music and heard songs that I'd written over the years. And we both always lived in the Pittsburgh region. And so little by little, it became a thing where we developed these programs together and we found that it's really, it's an original show. It's really hard to make a living or to make any income doing original content and not, you know, maybe cover songs or cover music.
Right.
So we realized after a few years, this is a really, really unique thing. This is a show that we totally developed, been able to, in some years, do it as really our full-time hustle, you know?
Yeah. So what's your process like? Like, you guys sit down together and you're aware of, I guess, what you're hoping to share with your audience. And then you got to figure out, like, whether it's music or it's comedy or it's all of it together.
I think that's where we do really well as a team, because I am I'm hyperactive. I have ADHD. I'm not ashamed to talk about it. And I come up with a lot of ideas. I come up with a lot of hooks, a lot of like things that I might not have the follow through with, right? So I'm like, Josh, we need to do a song about this, and we need to do a story about that, and I have this idea for this beat. And he's like, okay, cool. And so once I develop it a little bit, I'm like, hey, here you go. What do you think we should do? And then we team it together and build this thing. And it's where we work really well together. I mean, he's my favorite person to create art with, period. Oh,
that is amazing. Well, so we know that many kids learn about the importance of collaborating and cooperating and problem solving as a group. So what are the fun, I guess you started answering this, what are the fun parts of doing that as a team? And what can be the challenging parts sometimes of working as a team?
Well, it was interesting. When we started it, we kind of had ourselves boxed in, where we thought of, I think Gab thought of, like, I'm the comedian, I'm the person, the spoken word person, and I'm more the band leader. I'm like Paul Schaefer or something, you know? And so a lot of our first season things, going back 12 years now, were like, I had written a song, Gab would do a spoken word piece, and maybe one would lead into the other. And then as the years passed, it became this weaving where I started doing a lot more spoken word stuff, and she started writing, no kidding, some of the best songs I've ever heard. And so little by little, we just became this mash of Josh and Gab now, where it's hard to say who wrote the song piece or who, you know what I mean?
It's really true, because I'm always saying to him, I'm like, you're my favorite comedy person. And he wouldn't identify as a comedy person, but in our show, he does so much comedy and he's hilarious. I mean, that's what makes it fun for me, you know?
So I love that first that you both were okay with making space for the other person doing some of what you do, but also that then you both discovered that you had skills you didn't even know you had.
It's probably a good lesson for the kids listening, that's for sure. Like thinking of yourself in one way and then being around the creative energy of another person and finding that you rub off on one another and unlock all these other areas of creativity that you never would have by yourself. You know?
That is really cool. So I would love to know what inspired you guys to combine your creating and performing, which you both were already doing, with messages about mental health, which are like more important, it seems like, every day. We need this more and more.
Well, I guess 14 or 15 years ago now, my best friend was interning to be a principal. And at the school she had been interning, they kept bringing in assemblies to work on specifically anti-bullying. And she was just like, they just don't resonate with the kids. And she had seen us do a comedic video together. We did a funny song about Abraham Lincoln that her nephew liked. And she was like, do you think you guys could do something? You were bullied, Gab. Maybe there's something positive you could do. So we got together, and for like, what, a week or two, we sat in my mom's garage with like poster boards, a drum set, his guitar, and we built the first version of the show, which is not at all what the show is now. Some of the stuff, though. And it sort of was, so it was a commissioned idea at first. But then when we did it, we were like, this is great. And we just wrote all this stuff. Maybe we should try doing it again. And kind of went from there.
And we were probably both kind of skeptical of the idea at first, because we were, you know, in our 20s and stuff. And it just felt like, what do you mean going to a school? That doesn't sound very rock and roll. And then little by little, it became such a huge, huge part of our lives, you know.
But I do love that someone who was working directly with students said, there's a need here. There's something we could use. And then your talent happened to be something that could sort of fit in there. That is fantastic. So many people tell us when we interview them that when they were kids, a particular teacher or grown-up inspired them in some way. Were there any people either who inspired you guys when you grew up that sort of led to what you do these days, or someone right now who you get some inspiration from to kind of keep at what you're doing?
So when I was a kid, we always had the exact same assembly every year at our elementary school, and her name was Jessica Parker, and she would come in, and she had a band behind her, and it was mostly a just say no type of assembly, but she ended every performance with, that's what friends are for, and she'd bring down the lights in the gym, and it would just be this really emotional, and I remember it being in first grade sobbing, by second grade looking forward to this assembly, by third grade thinking, is this something I could do? And it kind of got out of my brain, you know, but then I go to Duquesne to study theater, and then we start doing this, and I'm like, oh, I'm her. It actually, I'm Jessica Parker. Like, it just,
wow. So many kids listening right now, there may be something they're seeing a grown up do, and they could do their version of that someday.
That's fun. I think I saw the same show. So shout out Pivik Elementary. I definitely, that's what friends are for. It's burned into my memory, too. Well, really, my mom and dad. My dad, I found his guitar, and he only knew a couple chords. And after just a few days, he was like, that's all I know about guitar. We have to get you real lessons now. And so when I was still in elementary school, I was starting to play guitar and write songs. So, I mean, it really started back then. I had a guitar teacher who was probably in his 30s, who seemed super old and weathered to me, like an old bluesman guy. And he treated me like an equal, and I just felt so cool in the safe space, you know, learning guitar.
Well, that's important what you said, that both in terms of your parents and in terms of that teacher, you had grown-ups who let you know, like, what you have to say and what want to do is important, and we take you seriously. So I'm sure probably a lot of the folks who are listening have had a chance, students have had a chance to see your shows, but if you were going to sort of boil down for us, like, what are some of the messages that you hope to leave kids with and leave teachers and administrators with after you've done a show at a school?
Well, like Gab said, it started really as an anti-bully program. In the Obama years, there was like funding for that phrase, right? Bullying curriculum. Little by little over the years, we became more of just pro-kindness, pro-positive choices. A lot of schools now we try to customize every program. So every school we go to, they might have their own curriculum, their own acronym, right? And so we kind of work that into songs. In general, I think it's a celebration of creativity,
yeah,
celebration of community, celebration of positive expression. What else?
Yeah, and I think we both try to really express this idea of kindness leads to fun. You want to have fun today? We have to work together. We have to follow our PBIS, our positive behavior rules. We have to be safe, because being safe is being kind. And like, we build it up so it's like, if you want to have the most fun ever in your life, let's just follow the rules real quick and we can do this. But being kind and having respect is going to be a big part of that. So, and being silly. I think it's important, especially when we get to like middle school and high school level. I mean, they're just too cool for school, you know? And then here's us just being two wild adults, and they're like, okay, I'm going to get up and dance. Like, that's the best, is when you get kids that everyone's like, they'll never get up and dance, and they all get up and dance. We're like, we got them.
Oh, I love it. But they do have fun. I mean, them letting themselves be silly makes it a better day for them. So incredibly cool. Well, thank you guys so much. We really appreciate your time, and I'm excited that we can help get this message out to more and more people. Well, thank you guys. We appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Thank you. Great seeing you.
Well, I had them perform at my kids' school once, and let me tell you, it was a huge hit, not just among the kids, but the parents and teachers and chaperones as well. But I love how their message has kind of evolved from not just anti-bullying, but just about kindness. And I love when they said kindness leads to fun. I never thought about that, but what a great way to explain just one more reason to be kind.
And that struck with me, too, the idea of like, okay, let's be safe, let's follow the rules, and then we can just have lots of fun and you can enjoy it. And I've also been to their performances. I mean, they are energetic and you are singing along.
First of all, I love that they were fans of each other before they became friends and before they began creating together. The message of that, I think, to kids is pretty incredible. I loved how they talked about the way that teamwork is such a part of their process, and that they've actually in some ways kind of begun sharing both roles. That in the beginning, you know, Josh was all about the music only and Gab was all about the words and the comedy, and how proud they sound of each other for the fact that the other person has now started doing a little bit of the other work. I think that's kind of inspiring.
Yeah, I hope everyone listening gets to see them. And if you'd like to reach out to Josh and Gab or just learn more about them, you'll find their website in our show notes. And in a moment, it's time for Tea with Teens.
You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast. Pittsburgh is Kidsburg.
On this episode of the Kidsburg Podcast, our team of teen reporters asked other local teens this question. In what ways do you see bullying happen at your school or online? Here's what they discovered.
I see bullying mostly happen online through posts or comments about other people's appearances, weights, hair, clothing. I feel like not as many people bully in person anymore because they're scared of the consequences.
I see bullying happening a lot online, especially through like social media apps of like kids blocking one another, and even like parents ask, oh, do you want to invite anybody? And they say no, it might be a cause of that.
At my school, everybody like tries to include everybody at my school. So like, I don't really see bullying at my school, but like, it's mostly just like online. because people think that they could say whatever they want because they're hiding behind the screen. I mean, most of the time, people that be trying to do it don't even have their face on the profile pic. My name is Adrian. I'm a 12th grade student at City Charter High School.
Hi, my name's Tamara. I'm 17 and I come from Carrick.
I'm Dara. I'm 18 and I go to Northgate High School.
This has been a really fun episode, and we've got plenty more inspiration and ideas coming in the next Kidsburg podcast episode.
That's right, and you can check out previous episodes where we talk with everyone from astronauts and Olympians to magicians, AI experts, and more.
Just go to kidsburg.org/podcast to find them all, and be sure to sign up for our free weekly Kidsburg newsletter for all the intel on resources and events that can help you raise the kids you love in the Pittsburgh region and beyond. Thanks for joining us for the Kidsburg podcast.
This is Louise. I'm in ninth grade at City High Charter School in Pittsburgh, and this is the Kidsburg Podcast.
On the next Kidsburg Podcast, we talk with Star 100.7's Bubba and therapist Brenda Levin about active listening.
Until then, we hope you'll visit kidsburg.org to find resources, get insight from local experts, and discover all the cool events happening in the Pittsburgh region.